Let's start right on time. Welcome to this Unified Device Management session. Just out of interest, who was there yesterday for mobile device management? Okay, 40-50% of the room. I just asked this because actually, more or less, the story is a little bit aligned or linked, let's say. So for the people that don't know me, my name is Nico Sienaert. I'm a lead consultant for Geotronix, which is actually a worldwide system integrator, but I'm based in Belgium. I do also work for Microsoft. I'm linked to the System Center user group in Belgium, and if you want, you can also follow me on Twitter. And last but not least, I'm a Microsoft MVP in the Enterprise Client Management segment. Key objectives. So what I would like to give you is, let's say, a complete overview of what Microsoft UDM is offering you. In other words, what kind of technology is Microsoft releasing to help you with your enterprise mobility challenges? And hopefully, you will see quite some new technologies, let's say, because Microsoft released quite a lot, and you get inspired. Maybe you say, okay, this is something we can use in our environment, maybe already today or in the near future. Actually, I will start with the same, let's call it a marketing slide, but just for setting the scene here, so users are coming in with a lot of devices, and your corporate data and your corporate applications are living on these devices. So you, as IT, you need something to have end-to-end control, okay? So yesterday, I discussed the green part, so mobile device management. If you translate that to technology, we talk about Configuration Manager and Windows Intune. So today, actually, I cover the other parts. So identity is, of course, very important. You will also want to control how your applications are acting. And of course, once your data, really, if you talk about Office files, for instance, if these data is living on these devices, how do you want to secure it? Now, if you look into a solution, so you're still in your envision phase, let's say, and you're actually comparing different vendors with each other, it might happen that you will end up with a lot of abbreviations. I have listed here a few of them. I could even continue. For instance, mobile device management is not in the list. What I just want to say is actually three years ago, let's say the mobility market is really accelerating and increasing. And this actually results in that you will have more or less 125 vendors already on the market that are delivering one, two, or more, let's call it mobile device management, mobile management solutions. Okay? Now, it's of course a billion-dollar market, so Microsoft could not really ignore that. Eh? So for the same price, actually, you have two abbreviations on top of it. And Microsoft likes to call it people-centric IT or unified device management. And actually, the last couple of weeks, they just call it enterprise mobility. Anyway, what's in the name? That's not so important. What I want that you take away with you, certainly from this slide, is that Microsoft will not offer you one, two, or three. They will just give you the complete end-to-end story regarding enterprise mobility, okay? And that's actually what we will discover during the session, let's say. So it's not only about Windows Intune. Windows Intune was yesterday purely mobile device management. Windows Intune is nothing more, nothing less. So you will see that Microsoft is releasing quite some new stuff via their Windows Server 2012 R2 releases, and of course via Windows Azure. I have listed here already some new technology that Microsoft released. This slide is actually a small introduction of what the session will bring. But we, of course, will also talk about other new technologies. But let's take, for instance, the first one, Workplace Join. Competitors like to call this app gateways or VPN-less connections. What is it actually? You register your non-domain joint machines, your iPad, for instance, into Azure Active Directory. As from that moment, an object is created in AD. So actually, you as a company, you know it. So as from then, you can do some conditional access. You can say, for instance, if that device is registered in AD, at that moment, he can access my SharePoint websites. Okay. Secondly, we have work folders. Enterprise file sync, that's something that competitors also like to call it. What is that actually? So personal data is following you across your devices. No matter where you log on, you should be able to access your personal data. Rights management service. Who is using RMS today in the environment? Okay, so this does not surprise me. Eh? Actually, RMS exists already since Windows Server 2003, but it was typically very heavy to install. What you will see now is Microsoft will bring this to the cloud, so to Azure. And you will see, I will show you how easy it actually is to set this up. And actually, Rights Management Service is a kind of containerization, file containerization. For the people that were there yesterday, I explained to you that Microsoft does not really have a purely containerization philosophy. So if you look into competitors like MobileIron, AirWatch, whatever, what they will do, they will create a container. They will collect all your corporate applications and data into that container, and then you have to launch separately in that container. Regarding user experience, that's not always very positive, let's say. So Microsoft takes another vision, and they will try to put that container technology or that vision directly in their products. For instance, Office will come with the next releases with a kind of mobile application management intelligence, let's say. Identity is very important, of course. Remember my subtitle, it's all about experience. You don't want that your user have to give in 4 or 5 times his password. That's cumbersome, they don't like it, and they will complain. But of course, you cannot really say, okay, but security is not important. So identity is very important there. ADFS will probably be your preferred tool to deliver single sign-on. And you will also see in Azure, with Azure Active Directory Premium, that Microsoft is releasing quite some interesting stuff there. Who is using multi-factor authentication today? Any kind of? Really? That's not much. Normally, I have more hands. Because MFA, so multi-factor authentication, it's an extra security one-time password that they also like to call it on top of your Active Directory password. For instance, an RSA token, a certificate, or whatever. I was expecting much more hands because actually this becomes more and more commodity. Also, a lot of ISO standards are requesting this. What Microsoft has seen, okay, RSA tokens, VASCO tokens, that's really typically the vendors that are concentrated on MFA. That's certainly good quality, but it's quite complex to implement. So again, the same story. They have actually acquired a company, and they bring that service to Azure, and you will also see that it's actually very easy to implement a multi-factor authentication service there. Then Azure Remote App, I will touch it briefly, I will show it to you briefly, but Heike Ritter had a complete session about that, so we will not focus too much on it. But what is Azure Remote App? You probably know remote desktop services. They bring that again to the cloud as a software as a service, okay? All right. Let's first talk briefly about Microsoft Remote Access. And then you see on top the RDS, so Remote Desktop Services, so typically Service-Based Computing and VDI. That technology existed already, but what is important is that Microsoft continues to invest in that. Service-Based Computing, VDI sessions, is perfectly a building block that you can use in your enterprise mobility. For instance, delivering a full-flavored Windows 8 machine on your macOS X, that's a perfectly supported solution what you can do with it. So understand that also existing technology will continue to improve, actually. The new kit around the block is actually the one in the middle, and that's the web application proxy. And what is that? That is actually the new reverse proxy of Microsoft. So today, you have forefront UIG. That actually will disappear, and the reverse proxy component will be replaced by web. So web is coming with Windows Server 2012 R2, and it's actually the component that you put on the DMZ to make sure that you can publish your intranet resources, like websites, SharePoint sites, certain claim applications, and so on. Who's using Direct Access? Okay, yeah, that's more hands than I expected, okay? I like Direct Access very much. If you ask me what is your top three of favorite technology that Microsoft is releasing, Direct Access for sure. Again, it's all about experience. You just don't notice if you're working at home or at work. You just always can access your resources. I don't have too much time to focus on Direct Access, but if I can give you one advice, if you're with a cumbersome VPN connection today or expensive VPN technology, look into Direct Access and you will be actually very surprised. And then another one is automatic VPN or trigger VPN, and that's something new. Now, what is that? This is typically to increase the user experience again. Typically, the help desk call that you get, hey, I'm working from home, I want to try to use this application, but it's not working. Dear customer, have you started your VPN connection? Oh no, sorry, okay? So this is typically what trigger VPN will do. Be careful, it's not the same as per app VPN. Microsoft will also release per app VPN support for IIS in Q4. What is the difference? Per app VPN is actually completely certificate based and completely invisible for the user. So as soon as he will start an application on his iPhone, automatically he will be connected to on-prem. Trigger VPN, you will see in the demo, is actually a kind of alerting today where the user will be alerted from, hey, you want to use this application, but actually you need your VPN connection for that to make sure that you can work with that application. It's completely PowerShell based, so you can send it around with GPOs or Config Manager or your favorite software distribution tool. You have also even support within Config Manager, so you can check your applications and say, okay, this application is allowed to trigger a VPN connection. Regarding support, you see there is quite some room for improvement, let's say. So you don't have actually much support, only on Windows 8, Windows RT, and these devices need to be non-domain joints, okay? For iOS and Android, I haven't heard anything that it's coming up, but yeah, you will see it might be actually a nice feature maybe to, let's say, increase your or decrease better your help desk calls. Okay, a very short demo here on what the experience is. Scroll here a bit with my resolution. So you see that I'm logging in with actually my live ID, so this device is not domain joint. I manage this device through Windows Intune, so I'm actually capable to send VPN profiles. I explained that yesterday, VPN profiles to my devices, and that's typically a new feature. So if you look in here, you see that I have one test VPN deployed and one trigger VPN. The test VPN, if you click on it, you see nothing special. It's actually just a connect button. The trigger VPN, you see already something new. You see there a checkbox, let apps automatically use this VPN connection. So here I have executed the PowerShell script, so actually the VPN can be called or triggered. Now, to decide which application needs to trigger which VPN connection, so that's again PowerShell driven. So let me show you how simple that statement is. It's just one simple line, add VPN connection trigger application. You say which VPN needs to be triggered, and then you say the application ID. If you talk about a typically Windows application, you can put in the path like there. If you talk about a modern style application, typically Windows 8 style, then you can also put the application ID in it. Okay, so let's start now a calculator and see what actually is happening. This is it. So nothing very spectacular. This is it what is today. So a user knows, okay, I start this, I get a pop-up, a trigger VPN action is required, continue, and a user needs to give in his credentials. But at least he's alerted. I asked two product teams what is actually their plan with trigger VPN. They are not so really clear about it. So honestly, I also don't know in which direction that will make some evolution, let's say, but at least now you know what trigger VPN is. Okay, demo you have seen. I talked briefly about RDS. So Microsoft is continue investing in this, but probably the most important release that the product team has done the last year is finally releasing a remote desktop app in the different stores. I saw customers that want to move away from Citrix because of cost, for instance, but they just waited because there was not really a remote desktop app for Android or for iOS. So now it is. So actually, you can have this kind of experience where you work on a Mac OS X, but you can provision, let's say, your favorite Windows applications. So remote desktop app is there. Use it. We will also talk later on. If we talk about Azure Remote App, actually, we are using the same remote desktop application there. Workplace Join. Anyone played with Workplace Join already? One or two hands? What is Workplace Join? So again, to register your device into your Active Directory, how does it work? Actually, it works with ADFS, which is released with Windows Server 2012 R2. The latest ADFS service has actually DRS. And what is DRS? Device Registration Service. Okay. So how does an Android or an iPad locate your infrastructure? Well, actually, you have to give in enterpriseregistration.domain.com hard-coded on your DNS, so it's actually a CNAME that you need to add, and then actually you browse to a specific URL, and it's from that moment you can workplace join your device. A user will authenticate with his password against ADFS, and it's from that moment an object will be created in Active Directory, and a device, more actually a machine certificate, will be installed on the device itself, okay? So it's from that moment you know the device, and you can do some conditional access, because if you authenticate against ADFS, it means that you generate a claim ticket. And what is a claim ticket? It's actually a piece of XML with extra information about your device. Is registered user is one of these values. Is registered user is true means that your machine is workplace joined. So be aware, workplace joined is user-based, not machine-based. So if you log off and you log on again with another user, you need to workplace join your machine again, okay? But as I said, as from then you can do conditional access, so on your web application proxy then, because typically you will not put your ADFS on the DMZ directly, so you need a component, a reverse proxy, to make sure that your cloud devices can actually access your infrastructure. So for that, you have the web component there in the middle. And actually, then you can publish your websites, and you can say, okay, this website is reachable only if is registered user is true, for instance. So only if your machine is workplace joined. Now, I have foreseen a demo, but normally this is typically a 75-minute session, and actually workplace join, if you look into the internet, you can find already quite a lot how do you need to configure it. So I'll skip the demo from now. If you have time at the end of the session, we can take it up again, but I believe I have more, let's say, recent technology that to show you, and which is not so well known yet on the internet, let's say. Another one is work folders. So as I explained to you, it's typically that your personal data is following you across your devices. What is remarkable about work folders? It's actually a feature on top of file server. So your data stays on premise. And that's actually, I have a table that explains you that, but that's actually the big differentiator if you compare work folders with OneDrive for Business, for instance. So your data stays on-prem. It's a file server feature, which means that you can actually leverage other file server capabilities. So you can do RMS on it, you can set quota on it, you can do reporting, classification, and so on. And also, Intune understands it. So if you do a selective wipe, for instance, then I explained to you yesterday, everything what you have pushed through Intune will be removed from your device. Well, if work folders are also detected on the device, Intune will actually break the EFS key. And from that moment, the documents are inaccessible. That's actually how it works. Again, the web application proxy is there because, your devices need to locate their file sync server, but that's actually the terminology that is used for work folders. So you will publish your work folders URL on the reverse proxy, and then again, you can build whatever you want. For instance, maybe you don't want that a device is doing work folders when it's not workplace joined or when it's a certain operating system. These kind of conditions you can, again, create thanks to the claim ticket you have because you authenticate against ADFS. Regarding supportability, room for improvement there, but at least something is moving. So for iOS and Android, applications are in the pipe. So they will actually release an application in their store to make sure that you can do work folders. Okay. Regarding the demo, the same story there. If you look on the internet, you have already quite a lot. So I will skip the demo. Before that, maybe the interesting table here. So you see here where they differentiate against OneDrive and against the typically user state virtualization that we know today, folder redirection and offline files. What is important about work folders? It's on-prem. So your data is not in the cloud. And today, it's only for personal folders. Probably in the next release, they will also focus on collaboration, the product team. So then you will be able to share, let's say, documents through your work folders. But today, that feature is not in there. Okay. Now the more newer stuff, and this is quite new. It's already a year. So let's now talk about things that are released a few weeks, few months ago. Enterprise Mobility Suite. Remember the first slide that I have shown you, the marketing slides. You need identity, you need mobile device management, and you want to secure your data on your devices, okay? Three main pillars. If you look into competitors, you will see a lot of vendors, 125, right? Some of them are not so good readable, but maybe that's good news. Eh? But the thing is, what I want to say is, actually, each component has own vendors. So you see already the bad news. Try to merge or try to combine different vendors with each other. You see already it can be a bumpy ride. Eh? So what is Microsoft is doing now? They will actually release one suite where you have a complete coverage into one pricing model. So a very interesting suite, that EMS. That's 1 month old. Maybe it's a little bit older, but it's very recent. So actually, what is it? If you, again, translate it to technology, it's Azure AD Premium, it's Windows Intune, and Azure RMS. That's the EMS suite. Windows Intune, I explained yesterday, so I will not focus on that one. So I will show you what Azure AD Premium actually is and how Azure RMS actually works. Now, what is part of Azure AD Premium? Multi-factor authentication. I told you already they are bringing that to Azure. Well, if you want to use it, you have to buy Azure AD Premium. MFA, I asked already, surprisingly not so intensively used. Anyway, what did Microsoft done? They bought the Phone Factor, which was actually world leading in the MFA business. And yeah, they acquired it, they branded it, and they put the service into Azure. Now, if you talk about architecture, you can see that you can have also a multi-factor authentication on server on-premise. So if you want to secure radio servers, mail servers, SharePoint servers, whatever, so if you assume you want to secure something on-prem, you need also an MFA server on-prem. Sounds more or less logic, but in the end, it's still the Azure Service Cloud that will send out SMS, text messages, phone calls, or you can use also an application for doing MFA authentication. Okay, that's high-level, actually, the architecture. Now, before a user can use MFA, so you as an administrator needs to enable him for MFA use, then the user has to actually go to a small wizard to configure it. So here you see that I want to log into Windows Intune, so I will authenticate against Azure Active Directory, but instead of a sign-in button, it's now set it up now. So I have to go first to a small wizard. Actually, what is it? It's very simple. A user has to give in his phone number, and then he needs to make the choice. Do I want to have SMS or do I want to receive phone calls? Then it will be verified. Hey, is this really your phone call? He needs to do a test OTP at that time. And from that moment, you're successfully, let's say, enabled for MFA. And from that moment, each time MFA will kick in. So your status will change from enabled to enforced. Let me show you now how that looks like. And in the same demo, I will also show you all the rest of what Azure AD Premium actually is. Who worked already with Windows Azure? That's okay, not so much. So I go a little bit slower then. So this is Windows Azure. Eh? You can subscribe for that. You can do trials. You see there the URL manage.windowsazure.com. What is important there, if we talk about Azure Active Directory Premium, so I have some directories. This one, for instance, if I click it open, I can see here licenses. So Azure Active Directory Premium, today you can also try. So you have a 90-day trial at that time. I also use that, for instance. And then you have 100 licenses, which means that you can actually assign 100 users to make sure that they can use Azure Active Directory Premium features. Okay. You see it's in preview. You will see that a lot in Azure. Azure is actually moving daily, so continuously new features are added. And preview actually means kind of a beta. Eh? So if I click this open, you see which users in my directory are actually allowed to use Azure Active Directory Premium. You see that they are actually part of my on-premise domain, eh? But they are known in the cloud because I have DirSync them. Eh? So that DirSync is a tool which actually will sync my identity, my users, to the cloud. And then I have the choice. If they need to log on, if they need to authenticate, do you use ADFS? And then they authenticate really on-prem, let's say, and then they can log on with their Azure Active with their Active Directory password. Or you can use DirSync password hash. And from that moment, that's not really a single sign-on, but let's say a simple sign-on. So the user can still log on with his Active Directory password thanks to a hash that is synced to the cloud. So it's not your password, it's a hash, so it's completely secure. Okay, so that choice you have, just to make sure it's all about experience, right? So you want that your user can log on with his own email address and with his own Active Directory password. Okay, what do you have, for instance, in Azure Active Directory Premium next to MFA? Well, for instance, you have typically reports. Reports that you will tell, okay, these users are signing in. This is actually suspicious sign-in info, because normally the user is always logging on from Europe, and now suddenly he's doing brute attacks out of Asia. Is that normal? So these kind of reports you can find here. In the Configure tab, you can set some custom branding. I will show you directly. So what you can do, you can add your logos from your company. And this is very important, of course. You need to foresee something as a user is using something in the cloud that it's familiar. So you will also see that if I try to log on, as soon as I type in my password, he will see my logo, and then it's okay for a user. It's familiar, and he will say, okay, I'm safe. It's about our environment. Typically, also a very important issue in help desks is passwords. A user tries to forget his passwords from time to time. And actually, in a cloud world, it will not be better. So what is Azure AD Premium offering you is that the user can actually reset his password out of the cloud. So I will also show you that wizard. So user has to go then to a small wizard. He needs to authenticate himself, for instance, by sending a verification code to an email address, an alternative email address. And as from that moment, he can actually change his password. And of course, that will be synced back to on-premise to make sure that Active Directory and Azure Active Directory passwords are staying in sync. Here you can see how the user needs to authenticate itself. He needs to give in an alternative email address. He can give in a mobile phone, or he can use an office application. Multi-factor authentication. Let me show you that. Sometimes you have to re-enter a password. That's typically cloud. Security above everything. Okay. This is something that, in my humble opinion, and we will discuss this with the product teams, can a little bit better regarding configuration. You will see, actually, multi-factor authentication, you need to configure it on three spots, different spots in Azure. So we will ask to do that a little bit better. This is actually one place where you can do, for instance, already blacklisting and whitelisting. You want, for instance, that certain subnets do not need to do MFA. You might have a good reason for that. Also very important is this new checkbox. Note again the preview. So it's, again, brand new. I think it's 2 weeks old. You want MFA, that's for sure. But you don't want to annoy your user. So each time that he logs on, okay, there goes the phone again, or there is an SMS again. So you might have a reason to check this, and that the user can say, okay, I don't need an MFA anymore for a certain period of time. You can configure then what actually the maximum amount of days is, okay? At that moment, a cookie will be installed on the devices, and as from that moment, actually the MFA authentication will be skipped. So I explained to you, you need to configure multi-factor authentication on a few different spots. So this is another one. So you see that I have a provider active. Here I have a manage button. So when I click on that, yeah, I'm connected to the wireless. Maybe that's not a good idea. Anyway, here you see some typical interesting info, let's say. So you have reports. You have fraud alerts. Voice messages, also very interesting. So if you choose that MFA will call you, then it's a typically nice lady that's calling you, but very standard. So if you want to do, again, some branding, hey, this is MFA service from this company, you can do that. So you can upload your RAV files into the cloud, so WAV files, and then you can actually have your custom message. I also told you that the server, you might have a server on-premise needed, so here you can download the bits. And even a step further, you can actually also build your own MFA shell around your applications by using the SDK. Typically, if you take such a report, for for instance, user summary. Let's go back 1 month. Qt reports in progress. Refresh it. View. So here you can see, for instance, which users are authenticating, how many times, and if it's even or denied. So sometimes I was not, my SMS was not there in time, for instance. That can happen. And after, let's say, 10 or 15 seconds, you are getting denied. So this kind of information you can have there. And then that was the second spot. So what is the third spot? Then you have to, at a certain period of time, you have to decide which users are allowed to do MFA. So for that, you have to go to your users. So again, these users are synced out of my environment. Here you have again a button, manage multi-factor authentication. And here you can see all my users. So most of them are disabled. You see also that one is enabled. If you're in an enabled state, remember, you have to go through the small wizard to enter your phone number and to select what your MFA will be. And you have also enforced. So once that is, you go to that wizard, your state is changed from enabled to enforced. And from that time, so for the Intune user and for Nico Sienaert user, each time an MFA will be asked. Okay. All right. What do we else have in Azure Active Directory Premium is applications. This is a very important feature, and Microsoft will focus a lot on this. Why? This is actually your identity, your federation, your single sign-on with software as a service applications, SaaS applications. So for instance, if you want to add an application, you can add your own organization application, of course, but you can also add an application from Gallery. And today you have already 2,400 titles in that list. Average, each week, 5 to 10 new softwares are available here. So what you can do there is to have a single sign-on experience with, for instance, Salesforce.com, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. You might have reasons for that to use that in a business context. This is how you can do that. So a user can actually just federate with his Azure Active Directory, or with his Active Directory credentials, if you want, directly into the SaaS applications, okay? And this is very important, and Microsoft will focus a lot on this. You can also create groups. You can compare that with groups out of Active Directory on Premium, sorry. But you can also sync your groups from on-prem into the cloud. This is actually what I have done, but you have the choice. Or you do completely your user and your group administration in the cloud, or you do it on-prem and you sync it to the cloud. That's the options you have there. Okay, this is actually the backend, let's say. So what is now the user experience? Let me open a Firefox session for that, otherwise I have to sign out into Internet Explorer. So here I want to log in into Windows Intune, so I authenticate against Azure Active Directory. Okay. So as soon as I type my password, even my username, so I log in, you will see immediately my branding. Okay. Okay, this is ugly, but just to show you the ID. So hey, I'm a user, okay, this looks familiar for me, I work for this company, let's go. Now, imagine that I forgot my password. Then you have here, yeah, sorry, it's in Dutch, because my browser is in Dutch. But here you can say, okay, don't you have access to your account? So let's click on that. So I will translate, and you need to reset your password. Note again the branding, so you keep seeing your branding. This is the tricky part, of course. P6PS, next. And I have the choice as a user. Remember, you had a few choices. Maybe you can send it to an alternative email address, your passcode. So let's do that. And if everything goes well, I should receive it in a few seconds. Then you can copy-paste it, and you can go through the wizard. So I give it 5 seconds. If it just not arrived, then we go through the demo. We go to another demo. Because actually, I will not reset the password itself, because I still need that user. There, you have a demo god again. Email.com for sure, but sometimes patience is golden, right? Okay, so normally what I can do then, I receive a code, I go further, and there the user can say, okay, this is my new password. As soon as he submits that, that will be synced back to the on-prem to make sure that both environments stay in sync. Okay. This is weird. Okay. Anyway, let's forget that. Now, let me show you MFA itself. So I will log in again with my Intune user. A little bit bigger. No, smaller, because actually it will arrive on my phone and I want to show you that. Okay, so this is my phone. Can you see it more or less? Yeah. Okay, so I give in my password now. Now you will see he's doing something. Yeah. Take a look at my phone now. So every time here, so this is the app that kicks in. I go to my notification center, multi-factor. Didn't do that here. Okay, now I will have the verify button and I will be access to the Intune service. Also notice here the 14 days checkbox. Yeah, that was a little bit too late. But you see the ID. So this is the extra authentication on top of your AD password. That is quite important if you talk about security and mobile devices and so on. All right. Makes sense? Okay. Azure RMS Rights Management Service. Actually, Microsoft is coming with a free one. You just go to that URL and you download it. What actually is it? It's just a simple, lightweight RMS service to share documents with someone outside of your company. And what is nice about that, it's of course secured because they are RMS'd. You can decide which rights your recipient will have. But even more important, you don't have to think about, does the user have Word to read it? On which device will he read it? iOS, Android, whatever, you just don't care. And even also important, you don't need it with complex trust, so you don't need any relationship with that other company, okay? So how does it work? You go to that URL, then depending on which platform you're working, you decide which software you want to install. So you need an RMS plugin to sign in into RMS and to make sure that you have rights to read documents. As soon, imagine you're working on a Windows box, so you install that. What will happen then? In Microsoft Office, you will have an extra button in the ribbon, which is called file protection, share protection. As soon you click that, you will see this button. You enter the email address of your recipient or with the people that you want to share. You can even decide when the security that you set via this slide by here needs to be a viewer, a reviewer, a co-author, whatever. And you can set then that at a certain period of time, the document needs to be expired. That's also an interesting question to ask. If you are sharing documents on the cloud, how long actually do you want that they are accessible on the cloud? So maybe interesting to think about. And also nice is that you receive notifications as soon your recipient is opening the document or even when he's forwarding the document to someone else. So also that is very interesting information. As soon you click the send button, he will automatically create an email for you. And this is actually what your receiver will actually have in his mailbox. So you see here two attachments. So a document which is RMS encrypted, so completely secure, in case he has Word. In case he doesn't have Word, for instance on an Android, Office does not exist on Android, then he can open the PPDF file, okay? So how does that work? He will sign in Azure RMS. He knows, of course, that he works on Android. He installs the free software for Android. It's a very small plugin. And it's from that moment, he can see actually the documents, okay? So this is actually a free tool that is there already. You can use it to actually securely share documents with other people. Okay, also important, it's not only Office. Eh? So you can have support for PDF, CAT files, audio files, media files, whatever. So, and that these extensions are still growing, so you are covered already for quite some file types. Okay, Azure RMS itself then. So remember, EMS suite, Azure RMS was part of it. So for EMS you pay, so that's actually why it's not for free. And what is that? That is going actually a step further. Azure RMS is protecting your files on-prem. Remember, RMS exists already since Windows Server 2003, but it's quite heavy to configure and to install. Now they are bringing that to Azure. The only thing you need is a member server, which you install the RMS connector on it. And it's from then you can actually protect your SharePoint servers, your email servers, and your file servers with RMS. So you will see in the demo what will happen is, for instance, when I manipulate certain documents, for instance, I will add the string confidential. As from that moment, I will classify that document as very important. That very important means then that he needs to call an RMS template out of the cloud. As from that moment, my document will be write or IRM'd or write management serviced, if that's a word. And as from that moment, I can only view the document and not print or not email the document anymore. Okay. So why is it a good idea to put it in the cloud? Well, remember RMS. If you open a Word document and you are not connected, he will ask you for credentials. With RMS, during the time, you had to make this assumption then that you had the VPN connection or direct access or whatever to authenticate. So RMS can say, okay, this user, he can open it, but he can only read it, for instance. Now, the power of cloud, if you have internet, you just authenticate against Azure Active Directory, and there your authentication is done. So for no matter where you're working, anywhere, anytime, and you know that kind of nice sentences, but actually this is the idea behind. Okay? Okay, regarding the demo. So you can actually leverage dynamic access control. Who is using that? No hands. Again, I'm not surprised. This was shipped with Windows Server 2012, not R2. Windows Server 2012. What is it actually? It's a completely other way of doing your security. Typically, you put now users in security groups. When he's tomorrow leaving the company or he's going to another department, you have to say, okay, in which groups are these guys sitting? And you have to remove it from HR to F&A. I say something. If you do dynamic access control, you use Active Directory attributes. So as soon as your user is changing from department, you just say, replace department from HR to F&A, and you're done. So it's a very easy way to handle your security. But I don't see much adoption in the field. Why? You have to completely rethink your security model. Eh? But actually, you should look into that. Anyway, so you don't need this for RMS, but to make a nice demo, I used it. So actually, I will enable the attribute personal information. And actually, that personal information will be my confidential string, right? Okay. Then you install the RMS connector. You probably want to put it on a separate member server, but anyway, it's a very light service. You create your templates in the cloud. You configure then, depending if you want to do SharePoint, Exchange, or File Server Resource Manager. File Server. So I will do a File Server protection. So then I need to execute some PowerShells, which are just down in the download package, if you download the RMS connector. So very easy to set up. And from that moment, you are actually ready to modify your documents. Two important things. You need an SSL certificate for the RMS connector. And if you're working with proxy servers, you absolutely need to add this registry key, because otherwise your RMS connector will not be able to talk to the cloud, and that's actually quite critical. Okay, some screenshots of the RMS connector, just to show you how simple it is. First, you have to give in your credentials to connect to Azure Active Directory, which is normal. Then you decide which servers you want to protect. If you, for the sake of demo, we choose the file server. Then you select which file servers are allowed to use the RMS connector, and you're done. Actually, that's it. Okay? The RMS demo. back to Azure. Sessions timeout, security. Okay, no passwords, that's easy. No security. RMS rights, so I have to go back. Rights management here. You see for one directory it's active. Here you can see you create and you manage your applications. So if I do manage your templates here, you can see by default you have two ones, confidential and confidential view only. For the sake of demo, I have added two extra templates. And if you create one, language, English, tests. So you have a new one then, you click it open, and then you have a rights button where you can actually select your users or your groups. So you pick your users out, just take one, next. And then typically what you, if you know RMS a bit, you can decide on your rights. So you have specific rights, reviewer, co-author, the basic ones. But then probably the custom one is more interesting because there you can really drill down in detail. So there you can decide, okay, he can do only the print, he cannot forward, he cannot do a reply to all, stuff like that. Okay. Okay, this is the Azure piece. Now we have to go to on-prem. And there, unfortunately, I had an issue. But luckily, I know Mr. Murphy, so I have a recording if you don't mind. But because I think it's because of Windows Update, I had to reboot my RMS server and the RMS connector is not working anymore. But anyway, it's exactly the same demo. So I will talk you through. Okay, this is actually the Azure piece which I just have showed you, so we can skip that. So here I explain my templates. Okay, now we are going to on-prem. Okay, this is dynamic access control. So here you see the specific attributes for the people that have never seen it. So remember that I talked about the department or about countries. So typically Active Directory attributes. You can also create custom ones. I will use now the PII, so the personal identifiable information. So that attribute I will use now to do, let's say, some fancy stuff to make sure that I can classify my my Word documents. So this is what happens now. So I take the personal identifiable information. So via that way, I can classify it for sensitive information. Now we will distribute that to my file servers. This is a share. And here you can see, for instance, a document which is already rights management service. It's already secured. So if you go to properties, you go to classification, you can see that PII is high. Okay, and that's actually what we want. We want to make sure that PII becomes high, because then I know I need to pull down a template, okay? Now we are in the File Server Resource Manager. Anyone played with File Server Resource Manager? That's also quite new, a few people. So File Server Resource Manager is doing classifications on your file server. So actually, he will continuously check all your documents to see are there specific rules or there specific changes in these file servers to make sure that I have to manipulate the documents or to classify them, really literally, almost literally, to put them in another spot, for instance. So you see here the PII. So because I have enabled it, it's now visible in the File Server Resource Manager. Then I have to create a rule, and you can see here the Azure RMS tool rule. So actually, what is it? You just decide which drive needs to be scanned. So I say here the E drive. I say classification needs to be high when there is a string Azure confidential in the text document, okay? And then you can fine-tune this. Oh, just missed the pause button. You can fine-tune this, for instance, you can make this case sensitive, whatever. You can do additional rules, combine rules with each other, but this is a simple string rule. Okay. Evaluation type you need to set. And then actually you put everything into a task. So what is the task? The task will actually execute your rule. So again, the scoping you have to define. The action, and this is actually the piece that is suddenly not working anymore in my demo environment. So he needs to pick up the RMS templates. Remember, you see the confidential ones? So these are actually the templates coming from the cloud. You see more than four. Why? Because in my environment, I have also still an RMS on-prem. So it's actually combining the different templates with each other. But if I continue with the movie, you will see that the templates that you see here are actually the same as in Azure. Okay, these four ones. Okay, so I select one. If it's high, make sure that the confidential test template kicks in. What is the condition? It needs to be high. And you want to schedule it. So you want to make sure that your file servers are scanned on a regular time. Okay, let's go now to a client machine who is accessing the file share that I have showed you. And let's create some documents. So I will create a document. One document with just a string in test, I believe. I don't know anymore what I have added. And then I have another document with the Azure confidential string inside. So I hope I type a little bit fast. Sorry about that, guys, but it's at least I have something. Windows updates, you know how tricky it is. Okay, so here I add something, I save it. And then the second document, I will add the confidential one. All right, that's done. Okay, so normally evaluation, each 10 minutes your file servers will be evaluated. Now to kick some asses, I will do it, I will give it a small push, so I will make sure that we run it directly. So now we'll immediately evaluate it. After a few seconds, you will also see a web-based application report, which actually will tell you, hey, we found one document, and we have increased security on that document. So you can see the SCU confidential doc file is actually protected. And this now becomes interesting. So if you go now to the file server, you see that the classification is high. So that's good. But also notice the size. So my other one stays 10K. And the other one is increased. This is typically what you see on RMS files, because yeah, there is a kind of metadata around that document builded, which is actually the security. Okay, play again. So size is different. Let's go now to the client to see the experience. So if I log in. So you see here again the two documents. And if I open the confidential wall, you can see that actually the confidential test template is actually applied on the document. So he's calling now the RMS plugin. And you can see there above that the confidential test is applied. So now you have specific permissions. So if you want to share now that this document or your document is lost, it's completely secure. Because when someone tries to open a document, he will ask credentials. Here it didn't ask credentials because I opened this document on actually a domain joint machine. But you will see later on the experience on Android. So it's actually a very, very nice solution there. How many time did we, when did we start? Okay. So 8 minutes left, right? So okay. Okay, Azure Remote App. Very quickly, as Heike did that already. But what is that? Bringing remote desktop services to the cloud. So what you can do, also in preview today, so you can try it immediately. You can spin up your own service. And actually, what is it? It's a VM with Office installed. So you can start to publish Office applications to all your devices. How do your devices access these kind of applications? Via the remote desktop app. Remember, that app is again available in all stores now. So very interesting. You have a standalone mode, but you can also go for a hybrid mode. So you might have, you might want to, let's say, publish your own line of business applications into the cloud. If you want to do that, you have to build a site-to-site VPN. or you can use Azure Express Route to connect your MPLS directly. Or you might also have a good reason that you want to upload your own Windows Server image into Azure and host your applications on top of that Windows Server OS. And sometimes you want to give away your own configurations. That's perfectly possible. Again, thanks to the remote desktop application, you can then open these Word documents on an Android, for instance. And that's actually what the following screenshot is showing you. So here you see all the Office applications are published. I take now my Android device. I log in into Azure Active Directory. Always notice you log in with your Active Directory credentials. So for the user, it's seamless. You see that I'm in the specifically app, so I installed it first from the Google Play Store. You see the Office applications that are available. Remember, on Android, no Office yet. So this is the only way what you should do to do, let's say, provisioning of Office. And this is now nice, okay? Because I open Office on Android, but even a step further, I open the same document, RMS encrypted. You see? It's again the Jutronics confidential test document that kicks in. So now I have actually provisioned a Word document to someone on an Android device, and it's perfectly secured. He can access it because he has credentials. How do we know that? He authenticates against the cloud, okay? Okay, some small tools that are coming. I talked about DirSync. So DirSync is a tool that syncs your users and groups to the cloud. That will be replaced by Azure Active Directory Sync. And actually, it just released the 15th, so 2 days ago, again, to show you how quick everything is going. And there are a few improvements. Why, for instance, DirSync is the tool that was also used for Office 365. Office 365 is using a lot of attributes, so you were syncing all these attributes to the cloud. But for instance, when I was talking to an Intune customer and he was a little bit, let's say, not confident with the cloud, it was always a discussion. Why do we all need these attributes? And actually, Intune is not using these attributes. Eh? So this is what is added now in the tool. So you can select for which cloud service you will do a DirSync. So if you select Intune, for instance, he will only take the 10 attributes that Intune is using. Eh? Same for Azure RMS, Link, Exchange, and so on. Okay. Multi-force support was also an issue for DirSync. So ADSync is also supporting this. And it's actually for free. Unless you want to sync back on-prem. Remember, if a user changes password, you want to make sure that the password gets synced back. As soon as you want to leverage that feature, you need Azure AD Premium. Okay? There will be an upgrade path supported from DirSync to ADSync, but that's not yet there, but it will come. Another interesting one is Azure Active Directory Connect. What is that? It's a small wizard that connects your on-prem to the cloud. So actually, the typically tool that you want to use the first time. And it's doing more than just connecting you. It's actually a complete tool that orchestrates your complete infrastructure in a few mouse clicks to make sure that you're ready. So he can set up your ADFS automatically, your web application proxy, he can set some DNS stuff, service accounts, whatever. So this is actually a very nice tool to speed you up with your connection to the cloud. And also something that is coming today in preview. And then we talked about software as a service, so the cloud app discovery. Why is that important? I showed you already that Microsoft is focusing a lot of that. But what we see with customers is that the business does, or certainly IT, does not realize how many SaaS applications are in the environment. So if you want to look into identity and single sign-on on SaaS applications, you want to know for sure what your business is using. So actually, in Azure Active Directory Premium, again, you have a tool which you can install. It's agent-based on your machines, so you can deploy it via Config Manager, for instance, and he will monitor which SaaS applications are used. And based on that, you have at least an overview of your landscape. You know which users are using it, what actually, how many data they are copying into the cloud. So very interesting information. And then you can consider, okay, will we leverage now identity? Will we do single sign-on for these SaaS applications? Okay? All right, last slide. So you have seen a lot of building blocks. So of course, it's a complex story. Even when it's all Microsoft technology, it's of course not a next finish story. That's for sure. But if you will combine it with competitors or do not everything except Microsoft, it will be even a bigger challenge. That I can guarantee. But you have to be realistic. But what is also interesting about that enterprise mobility stack, let's say, even if you don't have directly a vision with enterprise mobility, by picking up some building blocks like direct access, maybe MFA, maybe work folders, whatever, you make your company already more mature and actually ready for the future. And that's actually the nice part. So you can really cherry pick out of these table, let's say. Know that enterprise mobility is very high on the agenda of Microsoft, so new releases will come, even new software will come for sure, so certainly an interesting stack to follow. And then to conclude, yesterday it was with Gartner, now with Darwin, why not? So it's not the strongest of the species that survives, nor the most intelligent one, it's the one that is most adaptable to change. In other words, IT is changing, you have their mobility, it's changing, don't block your business, don't ignore it. The technology is there for you, just adopt change. I think that's the best what you can do for your business, okay? So with this, I want to thank you. Please fill in your feedback so at least we know what we can improve. And I hope you liked it. Thank you very much.